This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Still to come, Tony La Russa. But right now, we're going to talk some hockey with Terry Yake, the former Blue and now Blues analyst. Terry, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, before we get to the actual nuts and bolts of this big game coming up on Friday night, let's talk officiating in the NHL. First of all, what did you think of the scrum, and it ends up with two Blues players in the penalty box and one Nashville Predator in the penalty box?
Well, first and foremost, I think that call alone is what's triggered all of this, and I've been watching very closely all the games around the National Hockey League. There was nothing short of disgusting. How you could make a call like that? After that has happened three or four times during the game, there was a handful of fisticuffs and guys punching each other in the face around the goal. Every time somebody went near the net, it's 3-on-5 or it's 5-on-5, and none of that was called. And then suddenly, in the third period, you're going to take one from either from an additional player from a team and put them down shorthanded after it's happened all night long is absolutely incredible. And I know even the National Hockey League on NBC had all kinds of video about that. I can't find an announcer anywhere that agreed with that call. But the problem is bigger than that, Frank. It's because these calls are so important. Penalties are so rare. Guys are being so disciplined. They're trying to be disciplined. And when you do something like that, the guys have no idea how to call the game. And I've got a myriad of other examples, if I may, that are absolutely horrible that make me just want to scream. You know, after the Blues, for example, took that call, Berglund draws a slashing or a tripping minor, and it looked like nobody even touched him. It was a ghost call. What is that? That's a makeup call. That is not necessary either. Joel Edmondson goes to hit PK Subban. Okay, they give Subban 2 minutes for embellishing. Subban shouldn't have got a penalty because it wasn't an embellishment, or if he stands up, there's no penalty either way. I mean, he goes and he tries to go down. Edmondson barely hits his head. His helmet comes off, and then he fakes like he's been injured, lays on the ice and looks around and sees if he can get a penalty drawn. It's horrible. The worst ones are coming in some of the other games. Last night, the Edmonton Oilers were playing the Anaheim Ducks, and Corey Perry runs into the goalie after the Oilers had dominated the game, and Ryan Getzlaf scores, and he runs into him. A penalty that was waved off all season long, and they call it a goal. The Oilers challenge it. They lose their challenge. They don't get the goal. The goal reversed. 70 seconds later, the Oilers get scored on again, and the Ducks make it 2-2, and the play's offside. So not only do the Oilers not have a challenge because of the missed call by the referees, which was an absolute interference call all season long, but now they've lost their challenge, and now the game is suddenly 2-2 when it should still be 2-0. It's absolutely horrible. The Washington game the other night, TJ Oshie gets a penalty with 2 minutes left. Washington Capitals are putting a push on to try and tie the game. He gets a penalty on Nick Bonino because he throws his head back. The stick doesn't come anywhere close to the head. And now the Capitals are playing the last 2 minutes shorthanded, and they have no opportunity to tie that game up. And because of that, they lose the game, and now they're down 3-1, and the Capitals are in desperate need of, you know, a way to find a win. They're not going to win that series either, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are likely going to move on because of it. There's got to be some sort of recourse for these referees, and I know there is. They don't get to move on if they make bad calls. They don't get to go to the next round, but the refereeing has been absolutely horrible. And additionally, in that Washington game, there were a 4-minute minor called on Justin Williams by Matt Cullen for a high stick to the face. He was cut. That's the right call. But then later, Gensel for the Penguins gets hit in the face. He's bleeding. They show him bleeding on the bench. And nobody out of the four guys saw it. Frankly, it's been terrible, and I don't understand how these guys are not held accountable.
What do you think about the Crosby being out with a concussion and that hit there and not suspending the player?
Well, I mean, something has to be done. First of all, I mean, it's magnified because it's the best player in the game right now, and he was clearly the best player in the playoffs thus far. But whether you are doing it by, whether it happens by accident or not, it was a terrible blow to the head. So if you want to prevent injuries in the National Hockey League and have guys play because there's no tough guy repercussions, you gave him a 5-minute major, you gave him a 10, which means absolutely nothing to anybody. That means, you know, it's, you may as well not even do it. It makes no difference at all. But then you decide to not suspend him. So let me put it to this way. Next time I'm going to the net as a player, I'm going to accidentally slip. I'm going to make it look like, and we can do that if we want. I'm going to make it look like I slipped, and I'm going to do my best to run over the goalie and take him out for the rest of the series. Nick Kyprios on Grant Fuhr. Somebody remember that in the mid-90s? You know, basically took the chances of the St. Louis Blues to win a Stanley Cup that year out of their hands. That was one of the best teams that the Blues had iced in a long, long time. I'm going to make it look like an accident. I'm going to take the other team's goalie out. As long as it's an accident, not only do I get, maybe I get 5 minutes and my team's got to kill that one off, but I don't even get suspended. We don't even get a fine because there's no suspension. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, he takes out the best player in the game. Yes, and it was a bang-bang play. It was very accidental, but it was a blow to the head. Hits to the head are supposed to be almost like pucks over the glass. It's black and white. It's automatic. I don't understand how that happens. You know, and I'm actually more fired up because it was one of the best players in the game, and that's why I turned the TV on to watch the game, is to see these guys perform.
All right, let's get to this series. It's not insurmountable. Twice before, the Blues have overcome 3-1 deficits in a playoff series to win it. But, boy, you just have the feeling that Nashville has that mojo. They have the hottest goaltender in the world. Their defensemen are playing out of this world. These are tough odds right now. What's your take as we stand here 3-1?
It's certainly an uphill battle, but if there's a situation where the Blues could do it, this is the best case scenario, and I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, two of the next three are at home. Well, with the next game, Game 5, being at home, I liken it to you just got to get one. And I know it's cliche, but you get this one game, and to me, Game 6 now becomes Game 7. The winner of Game 6 probably wins the series, meaning probably, obviously, if Nashville wins it, but probably if the Blues win it, because you're going to take some of that mojo you're just talking out of the equation. You're going to have a lot of confidence with the Blues. They're going to come back home for a Game 7. And right now, obviously, the goal is let's just get it to a Game 7, and I think it's 60-40 in favor of the Blues. Now, how do you do that? You've got to win Game 5. You've got to come back and find a way to get something done. And one of the things that hasn't been happening, one of the problems the Blues have had in many years and years past, has been the lack of offense. Well, surely to goodness, somebody or somewhere, there's going to be a breakout. And if the Blues can find a way to score, they can get on the board and get one, and then that confidence will maybe lead them to a Game 6 victory and give us the upper hand going into a Game 7. So it's a perfect scenario because these two teams have been very equal. We're both getting great goaltending, and we do have home ice going into Game 5 and 7.
So what do you do in terms of the lines? I know he's still kind of tinkering. He didn't tell us anything yesterday at the Mills after practice. But you have Brodziak. He was the healthy scratch in Game 4. Laterra took his spot. What would you do? And let me throw one other idea. Is what about, you know, double shifting 91 and getting 91 out there as much as possible here in Game 5? I know I may be overstating the obvious, but one of the strengths of Mike Keenan was he played Brett Hull to death, and that's what I think Mike Yost should do with Vladimir Tarasenko.
Well, Vladdy's playing well right now, and he's getting his looks, and he's creating opportunities. There's no question. I think you got to get him a few more looks. So I would probably look to do something like that, but I would also look at getting Caden Schwartz a few extra shifts. He's probably been one of the hardest workers and one of the better players for the Blues thus far. He seems to be clicking in all cylinders, and he needs a few extra shifts. So, you know, you got to set the ice time limits. These guys are pretty good at picking a number that they think the players can handle and finding a way to get them to that number as far as minutes of ice time. And I would have Schwartz and Tarasenko in the low 20s, certainly, because you're going to need them on the ice that much. And frankly, you know, because of that, he played Jari Lehterä 5 or 6 minutes last game. This series is maybe too fast for him. Go ahead and put Barbashev back in. I wouldn't be opposed to putting Dmitry Yashkin in, a guy who can skate, who's got a big body. We know we're not going to get a lot offensively out of him, but if they're only going to play 5 or 7 minutes anyway, and if you're going to play these other guys, maybe Stastny, Schwartz, and Tarasenko, and try and get them up over 20 to create a little more offense, maybe find a way to get them away from those top pairs of the Predators defensively, then when you put those guys in the lineup, what do you want from them? You want energy. You want speed. You want forecheck. You want some tenacity. You want somebody that's going to get in the face. So let's put somebody in the lineup that can get there. I would put Barbashev maybe back in, Yashkin back in, and tell them that their role with Reeves is to get in there and get on the forecheck and create some havoc so that when we get a face-off in the defensive zone, or in the offensive zone, and they have to ice the puck, the Predators, we can come back with Tarasenko, Schwartz, and Stastny and hopefully create some offense out of it.
What do you make of Ryan Ellis, who's turned into Ray Bourque here?
Well, this I'm not sure if this is a new superstar in the making or if this is just a one-hit wonder in this playoff series, but I think he's starting to come along as one of the top players in the game. And, you know, you look at an Erik Karlsson, you look at, you know, guys like that that are highly skilled, not overly big, still pretty gritty. He's falling into that category, and that's going to make them a pretty scary team because that top four on their group on the back end is really good, and 5 and 6 aren't that bad either. That's a team that's really well built from the net out, and with the emergence of some young players up front, the stars up front with that first line in particular, Johansson and Forsberg and Arvidsson. I mean, that's or Atkinson. That's going to be it's going to be a tough group to really contain for a long time. And you know, this is just something that I don't know how the Blues are going to get to them. I know if they can get into the forecheck and create some pressure on those guys, that this group is prone to maybe throwing a few pucks around the boards a little early. And some of our goals and some of our opportunities have come from sustained pressure, thus, you know, a pass made just a little bit too soon and a pick off, and then, you know, able to create a little bit of offense from it. But besides that, there aren't too many weaknesses in that decor.
Good stuff. We will be watching with you on Friday. Thanks so much for your time, Terry.
Always a pleasure, Frank. Thank you.
All right. Terry Yake, former Blue, now an analyst, joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Before we go to break, quick word about Lion's Choice. If you're looking for a great place for lunch or for dinner, we recommend Lion's Choice. Have one of those scrumptious roast beef sandwiches. I think they do the meat like medium rare, and I know they season it up and they put it on a buttery bun. I love a little horseradish. Their horseradish at Lion's Choice is outstanding. And you could also have that orange freeze, another unique item. Who serves orange freezes nowadays around St. Louis? So if you're looking for a great place for lunch, you don't want to spend a lot of money, you don't want a lot of fat grams, but you really want a lot of taste, it's Lion's Choice. Been around for 50 years, 25 locations. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, the Hall of Famer, Tony La Russa.